Welcome to ICUP with We.
In the name of science, discovery, knowledge, and understanding, this is our ongoing examination of the Insane Clown Posse.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Eric.
And today we're reviewing 2015's The Marvelous Missing Link, The Outtakes.
The Marvelous. Missing Link.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of ICUP with Wade. Guys, if it's your first time, I'm not going to welcome you back. We've been over this. Actually, you don't even know that we've been over this because you've never listened to this before. So I'm going to say it again. If this is your first time, I'm not welcoming you back. That'd be stupid. That'd be dumb. That'd be idiot times to do. I'm welcoming you for the first time ever to ICUP with We, popping in on an outtakes album. Strange. Weird flex, but okay. Glad that you're here. If you've been here before, I'm glad that you're back. I will welcome you back, motherfuckers. There's nothing you can goddamn do about it. Okay? You hear some chuckling in the background, and for those of you that have been here before, you know that I'm not alone, but for those of you coming for the first time, again, not welcoming you back, welcoming you for the first time, I am not alone. I'm with my co-host with the co-most. Do you know his name? You should, because it was in the intro. Were you not paying attention to the intro? You should probably rewind. You know, actually, don't rewind. I'll just tell it now. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm also trying to picture that person who has already listened to 43 episodes of this that like starts the episode and you better not fucking welcome me back. If he welcomes me back, this is the last one I'm listening to.
Fucking God, if he fucking welcomes me back, I'm a piece of shit.
I'm done with this. I'm going to send them a strongly worded letter and then I'm done. But you're like, hey, if you've been here before, I'm welcoming you back whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm polite. Gosh darn it.
That's, I would say, if you said list three things that Aaron is, polite would be number one.
With a bullet.
I'll be your number one with a bullet.
I'll be your crying shoulder.
Oh, no, that's not the next line.
Ah, damn it.
Wrong.
Good song, though.
Which one?
Eric, both.
Oh, okay.
You want to know what song's been stuck in my head for probably like a month?
The Macarena.
No.
Okay, which?
The Macaruna.
Delicious.
Man, ooh, okay, Eric. Thought.
Okay.
And prayers. Quit your career.
Okay.
I will do the same.
All right.
Let's start a food truck, a macaroon food truck called the Macaruna.
Yeah. And we'll just blaze that song like the ice cream truck coming around and little kids will be like macaruna truck and like run out to get macaroons.
And we're also gonna blaze that weed, brother.
Wow, I meant Blair, but blaze also works.
You,
I mean,
you did said blaze.
Yeah, that's weird. Not the word I meant.
Song stuck in my head.
Okay.
Strawberry wine. 17 hot July moon.
I don't know what that is, but it kind of sounds like everything. Country music.
Yeah, it kind of is. First taste alive,
oh, bittersweet. What are you
never
singing?
Heard of that? Oh,
no.
You never heard of strawberry? Okay, after we record, we're going to hang around and I'm going to play that song for you because it is genuinely an amazing song.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've never heard of that.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. Have you ever heard that one song, though, called Chocolate Rain?
Oh, I love Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, okay, good.
Do you know that that dude streams on Twitch? Tayson Day?
Hopefully he does. And hopefully he moves away from the mic so he can breathe.
Okay. Funny you mentioned that. On Twitch, he actually has a second mic for breath.
What?
I've watched his Twitch streams before.
This is a bizarre turn of events.
It is. He leaned into the whole breathing thing, mm-hmm. and he got another mic that he breathes into. And honestly, what's strange is that this guy has, I mean, one of the most original viral videos out there.
Sure.
Last time I saw him streaming on Twitch, he was streaming like 20 people.
But hey, you know what, though?
Isn't that a damn shame?
He's coasting off a decade plus old viral video. What's probably 15 years old at this point. And he's still got 20 followers. That's not bad.
Listen, do us a favor and go follow Tayzonde on Twitch, please.
Yeah, makes me wonder how many subs Charlie the Unicorn's got.
That's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
how
I should.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thinking about viral videos from the early to mid 2000s there, I guess.
Virus videos.
Yes. The only type of virus I'm interested in. How are you?
I am good. Speaking of virus, I'm getting a COVID vaccination tomorrow.
As am I.
I can't wait for us to send each other our little hold the card up selfies, because I feel like everybody and their fucking mom takes a selfie of them holding their little vaccination card up.
Yeah, I don't fuck with that, though. That's not a thing I'm going to do. If I do it, I'm only sending it to you.
That's literally same. It's so bizarre. Like, hey, look, it's just like this past election, I made fun of people who would post with their I voted stickers.
Yeah,
because everybody fucking did it. So I put mine on my nose and I did a cheesy I voted sticker post, but I don't think it came through as satire at all. I think people just thought I was posting.
Was it a very successful tweet?
Probably not. None of my tweets are.
Oh,
but it's just like, you got vaccinated. Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah,
maybe as a content creator, I'm shooting myself in the foot by saying don't post everything in your life online. But don't post it. I will take this picture as a joke. I'll probably tweet it. Getting the vaccine is not a flex. It means that you have a weak immune system if you can get it like this early.
Yeah, you stupid idiot.
It's an anti-flex.
Yeah.
You dumb idiot.
We've had an interesting past couple of weeks because we, for the past year, have thought that we were trailblazers, that we were doing something that had never been done before. We are a straight edge kid from Pennsylvania and a kid who's from Texas that has never listened to ICP before, getting together and reviewing every album in a row. And then we found out about Juggalo Judgment, which is literally a straight edge kid from Pennsylvania and another kid who's not really that into ICP going through and reviewing every ICP. Well, actually all Psychopathic releases. And I was like,
yeah,
how is this happening? How did they beat us to it?
It's so bizarre that, I mean, not necessarily like our like visual doppelgangers.
No.
Right?
No.
But it's so bizarre to meet our situational doppelgangers.
Yes.
Through ICP.
But also, they're super chill, very cool. Like, I was like, uh-oh, there's going to be a war. They're going to come for us. They're going to shut us down. And instead, they were like,
we're pussies.
Right.
So we didn't want that.
Yeah, we'd get wrecked. And instead, they were like, this is awesome. And then, they told us about the Dim Carnival, who had beat them to the punch and are also reviewing every ICP album. But they, so Juggalo Judgment has gone to doing everything Psychopathic releases, which is expansive, right? Dim Carnival goes so deep on every album that they're doing 4 and 5 episodes per release.
Dude, I listened to like their Psychopathics from, I can't remember. I think it was Psychopathics from Outer Space, or maybe it was a Forgotten Freshness. Like part 4 the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Like,
it's wild.
I thought we went in depth.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will never claim to be the most comprehensive or in-depth podcast out there. But I think it's interesting that all three of us exist within a similar space, but we all are doing it a little different and we all have different perspectives on it. And we all come from different places, even if there are uncanny similarities between us and Juggalo Judgment.
Man, I am I gotta say, I really like the guys in Juggalo Judgment. I have not had a conversation with the Dim Carnival yet, but I would love to.
I'm sure they're cool too.
I'm sure they're cool as well, but I'm really gonna be sad when us and Juggalo Judgment start our fake beef.
But it won't be the fake. Gathering. We are gonna go to the gathering in 2022 or whenever it occurs. We are gonna beef, and then by the end of the gathering, we are going to squash that beef and drop a song together.
Correct. It's gonna be a super. Ooh, okay. Could you imagine if we did like a? I'm developing my head here, but we did a super group podcast.
Oh shit.
Where we review all of the psychopathic supergroups stuff.
And we can call our, we can take us and Juggalo Judgment and Dim Carnival and form a supergroup podcast called Dim Lotus.
Look at that. Okay. We got some business to take care of with the other boys in the podcast.
But that's all a secret. That's not going to be announced until we squash the beef and people are going to be like, oh, shit. And it's sadly going to overshadow everything else going on. And ICP is going to be like, doesn't anybody care about us? All they care about is Dim Lotus now.
And and honestly, as you should. Okay, guys, I have questions for the listeners out there. We've played this game before, but Bang Pow Boom, ICUP with Weed, Juggalo Judgment, and Dim Carnival.
Oh my God.
Which one would you bang? Which one would you pow? And which one would you boom?
Bang, bang, pow, pow, boom, boom.
Obviously. Yeah, bang, bang, pow, pow, boom, boom, indeed.
Right.
Okay, guys, listen, we have a review to get to.
We do.
And I can't even say it's been 35 minutes in because the first 20 minutes of my recording on my end was me telling a story to Eric that he's going to have to be forced to cut off when he edits.
I wrote it down. I'm going to release it as an audiobook on Amazon.
Good. Don't give me any royalties, please.
No.
We're reviewing the Outtakes album from The Marvelous Missing Link. Side note, Eric.
Yes.
Dim Carnival is going to be on The Marvelous Missing Link probably for like a year.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out how long they're going to be on Mighty Death Pop with four albums. How long?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Think about how long it's going to take for them just to get through Freaky Tales.
I hated being on Mighty Death Pop for 4 weeks.
We only did it for 3 years. Yeah, we did it for 3 because we doubled up. Yeah,
it felt like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're better than us. They are.
Yes.
And so is Juggalo Judgment. But it's cool. We're here. We're hanging.
Yeah.
We're just chilling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If for some reason you were unable to find Juggalo Judgment and Dim Carnival, and you found yourself here. We'll do. We'll work.
Hey, listen. We're both married. We're used to people settling for us.
To each other.
Yes. We settled for each other.
I tumble for you. That's a culture club song just for you.
That's a culture club song?
Yeah.
Which song?
I tumble for you. It's like, I'm pretty sure it was culture club. I don't think it was Boy George solo, but.
We need to do a Boy George podcast.
God, that would be interesting. Legit, that would be interesting.
That would legitimately be fun, I think.
Yeah, it's on. I'm sure there'll be lots of crossover. Until we
figure out that there's a straight edge person from Pennsylvania that's also doing a Boy George podcast.
We'll be like, wait a minute, there's Culture Club Judgment already?
How on fucking earth are this many straight edge people from Pennsylvania doing goddamn podcasts? What the fuck?
To be fair, at least half the people from Pennsylvania are straight edge. It's just how it
that
is.
That makes sense. Yeah. I feel like I feel like everybody I meet from Pennsylvania is straight edge.
Right. Dave is straight edge. He's from Pennsylvania.
You know what, guys? Let's start that assumption.
That's a rumor.
Let's just generalize. Everybody from Pennsylvania is straight edge.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. Let's go ahead and hop on into this. Let's hop, skip, and jump.
Okay.
Into this review.
Yeah, let's do
so,
that.
So, Eric, you have compiled a concise list of facts and little tidbits and tiny nuggets of information that we need to know about this album to help us properly review it. Do you want to hit us with it?
Yeah, I can hit you with that. And before I do, I'm going to let you know, I've made an assumption. I have a theory about this album that has absolutely zero supporting evidence. It's purely speculation. And I will share that at the end. I won't share it here because it's not fact. And this is about facts. So here are the facts.
Okay.
Marvelous Missing Link, The Outtakes, was first announced on September 14th, 2015, through ICP's social media channels. The album was said to contain 14 never-before-heard tracks originally recorded for the Marvelous Missing Link albums, 7 from Lost and 7 from Found. Now, the album dropped on October 2nd on all streaming services and was also sold physically at their merch table during the Marvelous Missing Link tour and on their website, hatchetgear.com, although I do see some sources showing this releasing a week later on October 9th, so I wonder if it maybe started selling physically on the 2nd and then went up digitally on the 9th or vice versa. Not really sure. Here's one of those little nuggets you talked about. On that Marvelous Missing Link tour, POD opened for them.
Ooh.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, just a little strange.
What's your favorite POD song?
I don't think I have a favorite POD song, if I'm being honest.
Okay, cool. Mine is Southtown. Moving on. According to ICP, the cover of this album is designed to look like a bootleg LP from the 70s, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Also, all tracks on this album were produced by Young Wicked, Mike P, and ICP. 8 of these tracks were produced by Young Wicked, 3 by Mike P, and it looks like Brian Kuma was involved in mixing and producing a couple of the tracks as well. Really, really, this is heavily skewed toward Young Wicked. When you look at the credits, he was all over the production for this. So kind of interesting. But that's the info I've got. None of the tracks here were produced by Michael Seven Summers, which many of the tracks on the two proper albums were.
Yeah, that's kind of strange that, I mean, yes. It shows that he has a golden thumb, I guess.
Well, it's also supporting evidence for my theory that I'll get to later.
Can't wait to hear this theory. Hopefully it is as enlightening as the Big Bang one.
It may be close.
The Big Bang, the Big Pow, the Big Boom?
Yes.
Nice. Eric, thank you so much for compiling this information for me.
You're welcome.
And for the listeners. So, obviously, it's time to go track by track. But before we go track by track, we need to look at this dang Flabbit album cover.
Is that sounds like a word or phrase that Yosemite Sam would say when he gets angry.
You're very close. Actually, Billy Ray Cyrus in Hannah Montana.
Oh, for real?
Straight up.
I didn't know. Well, there you go.
Now tell me, do you really want to love me forever? Oh. We are just talking songs about from other artists today, aren't we?
I think we always do on some level.
Do we usually do it this much, though?
Maybe not.
You're probably right. Okay, guys, we need to look at this album cover. So I am opening this Discogs link for it now, and I'm viewing it with my eyes.
Yeah,
this thing here definitely looks nothing like a Joker's Card album cover.
No,
which is fine because it's not technically. It kind of is. It kind of isn't. Right.
Right.
But you do see the silhouette in the background behind the words: the Insane Clown Posse, the Marvelous Missing Link, the Outtakes. Stereophonic, dynamic, high fidelity.
Yes.
It definitely looks like it's from the 70s, yes.
Yes, but that silhouette is the split face. The left half of the face is the Lost, you know, in the iron mask, and the right is the Found out of the
mask.
Oh
my goodness, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
And then you have the inside has the album credits, and you're right, Young Wicked is just all up and down these credits.
Yep.
Then you got a Hatchet Man sort of cover, and I think that is what is displayed behind the CD when you pop the CD out.
Yeah, the CD itself looks like a reel-to-reel tape.
Yeah. Honestly, it looks pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I actually really like the back. I like the treatment on that photo with that sort of purple to green gradient and that black and white sort of I don't know, newsprint photo of them. I thought it looks really good to me.
I think the back is probably my favorite part of this album.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen
this treated photo of them. Fuck it, on the front.
Yeah.
Like, why put it on the back? This is a dope edit.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I mean, I think this album is fine, what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's clean, it's simple, there's not too much going on. If you wanted it to look like a bootleg LP from the 70s, it's got that look. It's cool.
Okay, it's time to go track by track. So, Eric, like you said, we have 14 tracks total.
Mm-hmm.
The runtime on this bad boy is right at 50 minutes. Let's get into it. So like you said, the first seven are from the outtakes from Lost. The last seven are the outtakes from Found. Even if you didn't know that previously to this, you would kind of assume, because track number 8 is Found intro.
Yeah.
So after listening to that, you can assume that, okay, well, the stuff beforehand was from Lost. The stuff after was from Found.
Allegedly, it's seven from Lost and Found. Because if you listen to those Found songs, I'm not sure all of those feel like they would fit. I think they may have taken a bunch of tracks and went, yeah, we're going to say these seven were from Lost and these seven were from Found, even if they may not split it up
for the concept. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of the ones from Found don't read like they're from Found.
Exactly.
So I have that noted down here. I'm glad that you brought that up. I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Without further ado, the intro track, Eric, what are your thoughts? Lost intro.
I think this is a pretty traditional Joker's Card intro track. I wouldn't have been surprised to see there being some sort of minimal sort of story-esque spoken word intro ahead of this, but this format with the Lost intro and then halfway in the Found intro reminds me so much of Amazing Jekyll Brothers, where they had the Jake Jekyll and Jack Jekyll, like, halfway in, they had another intro that sort of set up the back half of the album. This is like that. I think it's fine. It doesn't do much for me, but it also doesn't detract. I think it gets us into the next song. But what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was produced very well. I mean, you're right. You take this, you add some spoken word in front of it, and this is such a classic Joker's Card intro,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. I think their best intros, we don't have much to say about them.
No, and this one works. This one is Violent J, and then yep. The Found one is Shaggy. It's just they sort of, and again, just like the Jekyll Brothers did the same kind of thing.
Correct.
Yeah, it was fine. All right, let's move on to the next song. We actually talked quite a bit about the absence of this song on the previous two albums. This one is called The Missing Link. What were your thoughts?
This song explains the whole goddamn thing.
Exactly, right? It
explains the fucking guy.
Yes.
Why is this an outtake? And if this was an outtake, why didn't you at least rework it into like one that you kept on? This is insane.
I know.
So, okay. Background info found on genius.com. This song actually was played at the 20th anniversary Hollow Wicked, which is when ICP unveiled the Marvelous Missing Link Lost Found as the third card in the second deck.
So they played this song to sort of introduce what it was going to be.
Yes. So this song was played at the 20th anniversary, which was in 2014, which maybe that's why they thought, well, no, that doesn't make sense, because it's not like every ICP fan was fucking there.
Okay. I'm going to tell you my theory now before we get to the end.
Please do.
Because I think this is another supporting bit of evidence. My theory is that they started production on this album as a very traditional Joker's Card. And I believe most of what's here was probably what they were building as a more traditional Joker's Card. And then at some point they decided, or somebody said, we need to change things up. This feels like what we've done before. I want to put out something that people, you know, don't expect, that feels modern, that feels different. And they switched directions. They went with this very dark, very focused Lost, and then they went to Found. I would not be shocked if what we're listening to here, primarily, maybe not every track, maybe some of them truly are ones that were left off, is the bones of what would have been the original version of a Marvelous Missing Link single Joker's card. That's just my theory.
Okay. That's a very good theory. I think you're probably pretty correct in that.
I mean, again, nothing evidence, but no facts to support it.
Right. No facts to support it, but a lot of evidence. And I think this, the fact that this song was on this and not the actual Joker's card.
Yep.
Heavily supports that. Yeah. So about the song itself, though, I wasn't a huge fan of the beat. Thought the chorus was just okay. Then we get to Shaggy's verse, and it just feels so corny. Ain't no taking it back. It's too late for that. The link's tied. Face it, Jack. It doesn't seem like they actually wrote those lyrics to mean something.
I don't know. I didn't mind those parts. But I the did listen.
Sucks.
I did listen to this and think this sounds like a song that would have been released 15 years prior. It felt very much like they were going, here's the blueprint for what we've done. Let's do it again. But I agree. I have a note that says this sounds good right up until the bridge, which derails the song, all the unda bunta, and it goes on for so long. But I don't know. It's like, it kind of reminds me of Southwest Voodoo, where they sort of have some of that sort of faux voodoo language in there. That sort of seemed like what they were doing here. But it just keeps going. I don't know. I like the song up till there. I think it's interesting. It's interesting to hear it. So
I like the song up until Shaggy's verse, which is a little bit before that. But I think we can both say that, the intro by Violent J was good. The chorus is fine. I had no issue with the chorus.
Yep.
Violent J's first verse was fine.
Yeah.
I had no issue with that. They lost me a little bit with Shaggy. Then the momentum built back up with the chorus. Then the bridge happened. I was just like, nope, I'm done. This fucking sucks.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I do think, however,
bizarre.
In listening to this song, had they taken it and reworked it slightly, I would have loved to hear this on Found. I think that would have been like after the intro and after the song Found, if they would have dropped this song in, I think it would have been really cool.
I agree.
Without that bridge.
Right, yeah. And by reworking it, you just mean delete the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they change up the beat. Maybe they refine it a little so it feels like it fits a bit better on there. But I don't think it would have been completely out of place. And it would have been that sort of, hey, this is a Joker's card. I'm not angry that they did what they did, but there you go.
Okay, well, hey, let's move on to the next song, which I'm just going to go right into it because I don't want to say anything because it's your turn to start. Six Pedophiles.
I mean, on brand track for ICP, and yet not exactly a song that they've done before. Now, I wouldn't say I love this beat, but I don't dislike it either. It has something about it feels a little bit outdated compared to the tracks on the proper Lost and Found. However, the content in this song takes me back to like old school Piggy Pie ICP. It's literally about tracking down and killing six pedophiles. Although the hook threw me off at first. I had to listen really close because I thought they were saying six pedophiles, that forehead. But they're saying left four dead. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a solid track. I can't take anything away from it. This is a standout song of theirs. It belongs on a proper album, even if it probably needed a little bit of refinement here and there. But what did you think?
I honestly knew that you and I were going to be very similar with this song. My first note was just by the name, I know I'll probably like this song because, this feels so incredibly like a classic ICP song, right?
Yeah.
I thought the flows were amazing. The beat was sick. And obviously I love when they rap about this subject matter because it feels passionate and it feels like they want to be here.
Yeah.
You know, this song was great. Yeah. So basically, like you said, it's just them going and killing six pedophiles. First one being a teacher, then a cab driver, then a guy that works from home, then a construction worker, then a children's doctor.
Yikes.
And then a bum that lived with his mom.
Yeah.
And it's, guys, this, I would be totally happy if ICP only rapped about shit like this.
Yeah.
for the rest of their careers.
Yeah,
they're so good at it.
It works so well. Like, if you want to hear the passion and the fire come out, a track like this where they clearly, you know, feel this subject matter, and it's mean, it's violent, and it feels, there's something cathartic about it, right? Hearing them talk about the violent ways they're taking out these pedophiles, it's like, right. It's satisfying.
Very satisfying, yeah.
Yeah, good track. The next song sticks with a similar theme, to be honest. This one's called The Monster. What'd you think?
Yes, okay, so this song is actually about Violent J's stepdad, mm-hmm. who abused him and his siblings. We've talked about this before, and he's talked about it in his book Behind the Paint.
Yep.
And basically he refers to his stepdad as the monster. And throughout the song, you know, he's saying, hey, we're, you know, playing, we're doing whatever. My mom's working her two jobs. We're having a great time. Uh-oh, the monster's home. Like we heard the growling from in the house. Uh-oh, the monster's home. I thought that musically the beat was amazing. Lyric wise, flows and content matter. Obviously, this is something that is very important to Violent J, and it comes across that way in the song. It feels real. He sounds kind of different to me in this, like in the start of the song, though. I don't know what it is. Like, not like just the extent of like it sounded like maybe he was getting over a sinus infection or something. You know what I mean? That's just a weird thing that I thought of. That doesn't detract from the song at all.
I didn't even catch on to that.
Go back if you have a chance and listen to it one more time and see if I'm not just absolutely going insane.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Overall, I think this song was really good. And I think that this absolutely would have fit in the Lost album.
I totally agree. Literally, my first note is, now this feels like a track that could easily have been on Lost. I really dug this beat. I liked how it was simple and felt kind of light for the parts where he's talking about being a kid and playing outside and stuff. And then it opens up and just feels huge on the hook when they talk about the monster, his stepfather. And, you know, I discussed previously on the last two episodes how on the Lost and Found albums, they did a great job of matching the tone of the music to the lyrical themes. And I think this song does mm-hmm. that exceptionally well. I also love Violent J's flows on this because it's different than what he normally does. And yeah, this track is great. And I cannot believe they left it off the proper album.
I'm going to say something very rare here because we talk about album lengths all the time. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, let's be honest, we shit on them a little bit for having albums and songs that are just far too long.
Yeah.
After listening to The Monster and Six Pedophiles, I would not have minded hearing both of those on the proper album.
There are three songs on this first half of Outtakes that I would have felt okay with them putting on Lost that would not have made me go, oh, this album's so long. Would have put them at 17, and I think it would have just made the album even better. I agree, big time.
You know what? I have a third one as well. I'm very interested to see if it's the same one.
Okay.
But we'll get to that. Perfect. Well, hey, that was The Monster. Such an incredible track. Definitely did not do it justice by putting it on the Outtakes,
no,
in my opinion. Especially for something that's so important to Violent J. I don't know why he wouldn't have fought for this one to be.
I don't know. I'm surprised. I'd love to know what song beat this out to go on the proper album.
I would love to know that as well, because if y'all remember, we scored that one very high.
Yes.
So it's not like there was there wasn't a clear cut shitty song that said, yeah, get that the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would be interested to hear that as well. Guys, let's get to the next track. The next track is track 5. It's a song called Why'd I Have to Die? Eric, thoughts?
I think this is a pretty sick beat. I feel like this is pretty on brand for them. And it's about basically somebody dying, going to heaven, and watching their loved ones. But in this case, questioning God's plan. Why did I have to die? I don't want heaven. I don't want all that stuff. I want to be back there with my wife and my kids. And I don't want to have to watch my wife remarry and my, you know, kids grow up from here and not be able to see my grandkids and whatever, you know. I think it's a different theme than the song Under the Moon, but it gives me a similar sort of vibe there. Lyrically, I think it was some pretty solid storytelling. One of the things that I noticed in the song as I listened to it, the intro is a preacher delivering the eulogy, but he's talking about, you know, oh, he died and left behind his beautiful young wife, very beautiful, like all this stuff. And at some point later in the song, Violent J talks about looking down on his own funeral, listening to a preacher he doesn't even know hitting on his own wife, which is a reference to that intro. I think this song probably could have fit on to Lost. I'm not shocked it got left off, but I thought it was a decent track. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm not super shocked that it was left off as well. I also don't think it was bad.
No.
I thought the beat was dope. I even enjoyed the guitars in this one.
Yeah, it worked.
And that's pretty rare for me. I thought it worked perfectly. I thought the flows were dope. The beat was dope. I thought the storytelling was really good. Chorus, yeah, of course it was a little repetitive, but what chorus isn't?
Yeah.
Right?
Kind of on the nose. Fine. Straightforward.
Yeah, little straightforward and on the nose. You want to know what this song made me think about?
What?
So my grandfather on my dad's side, he died when I was about 10 years old. And growing up religious, I've always thought, okay, my grandfather is in heaven, mm-hmm. right? That traumatizes you when you're 10. By the time you're 26 years old, as I am, you think occasionally about how your grandpa has probably watched you jack off 500,000 times.
I knew that's where you were going. I knew it.
and it's something that scarred me for a very long time.
This song made you think about that?
Well, because it made me think, oh, like he's up in heaven and he's looking down on his family. And I thought, who's looking down on me right now? All my dead relatives watching me crank off.
Maybe.
Those sick pervs. Okay. Yeah, no, I think I could see why this song was left off because it's not quite as strong as what was on Lost. But at the same time, this is a very solid song.
Yeah, it's if you put a line down the middle of all the music they've made and said, is this song well made? Is it a pretty strong track or is it kind of shitty? It would be on the positive side of that line.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next song called Joey the Butcher. This is track 6. Go for it.
This song is so fucking sick. So we get an intro from Young Wicked that kind of sets it up that Joey the Butcher pretty much sells like human parts in his butcher shop, right? Yes. Deep fried nut sacks, great for sliders. Now I could see where this song tonally might sound the same as musically. Stuff from Lost.
Yes.
Musically. But if you actually listen to the lyrics, this definitely does not fit. So I 100% understand.
Same.
This not being on there.
But
that being said,
to support my theory, this totally sounds like a song that would have been on something like The Amazing Jekyll Brothers. Just again,
theory. Yeah. Absolutely. But that being said, the song is really fucking good. I think that the lyrics and flows were amazing. The music was amazing. The subject matter, I mean, I don't know why it took them, you know, this long to rap about a butcher that sells human parts. I mean, that's just so on brand for them, right? I loved it. I loved it. Well, I wrote down a line here.
I wrote down some lines.
There's a lot of lines. It's in the outro.
Yep, I have two in the outro.
Okay, so my first one is serve cold with testicle soup and a side of crunchy pee holes.
Yeah, that's one of them that I have written.
And then the very next one, country fried butt cheeks lathered in red blood gravy.
See, the first line that I wrote down, the one that stood out to me was, what better way to enjoy your day than a penis dipped in soy sauce? Yay.
Yeah, like that, guys, you can't tell me that would have fit on Lost.
No.
You can't. You can't at all. But man, is it a fucking phenomenal song, and I'm glad that I was able to, it wasn't just scrapped, right?
I'm glad to hear it, but I don't know how to feel about this song. So the production here from start to finish is incredible. This beat is dope. Shaggy's tone and flows are fucking great, but I think the song is goofy as fuck. Joey's Butcher Shop. And I love the part. It's a small production thing and a choice that feels contrary to what you would normally do musically. Shaggy says, "Where's my shop?" And you'd expect him to say, "Hell." But instead, it's a different voice. I think it's Young Wicked. And he goes, "Help! Help! Help!" It like echoes out. And it's like this very short, abrupt "hell" instead of holding out the word. And oh my God, it's so hard. It sounds so good. The lyrics, though, are so dumb, and it's not completely off-brand for them. It just feels so out of place compared to pretty much any of the songs on Lost or Found.
Oh, it's definitely out of place.
Yeah.
I agree.
But, like, if you had put a not silly set of lyrics on this, this beat and the production are so solid that it would have belonged on one of the albums.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Because, like we said when we first started talking about this one, definitely musically sounds like it fits.
Yes.
Lyrically, could not be further from fitting.
Absolutely.
On Lost.
No. Yeah.
So, at the very end of this song, there's actually a segue where someone says goodnight to their spouse or significant other. And then that immediately brings us into the next song, which is a song called "The Dream." And Eric, I cannot wait to hear your thoughts on it.
Now, on the surface, this is a very common topic for them. It sounds very much like somebody telling the story of essentially being in hell. They've done tracks like this on previous albums. However, this time it's the concept of being stuck in a dream or a nightmare. I love this beat. Super chill. I love the storytelling. And as a person that regularly experiences intense nightmares that sometimes wake me up screaming or cause real life panic attacks, this song and the lyrics "Sleep is like a curse" really lands for me. I loved listening to Violent J tell this story. It reminded me of like a song like "The Killing Fields" or something like that, which I've talked about many times that I really liked, or like "Every Day I Die." But this is another one that I thought could have easily actually been on the album. I really liked the break in the middle where Sugar Slam is trying to wake him up. Joe, you're having a nightmare. Are you okay? Because that also is familiar to me. I've had that happen. But I thought this was great, man. What did you think?
This song was fantastic, and I'm so glad that this was the one that we both agree could have absolutely been on Lost, and I would not have minded whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I thought. So I also wrote down the fact that they have some similar lines to "The Killing Fields," and then it was annotated on Genius.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the line, "I'm not alone, there's others bound to dead trees, they have no mouths, but their eyes cry, they cry please."
Right.
Is very similar to "And look around you, there's body hanging from trees, but they're not dying, they're only crying please."
Yes, I noticed that
line. Which is the line from "The Killing Fields."
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, this very Killing Fields-esque, which was a great song.
Yep.
I think that the music was amazing. I thought the flows were great. I too just absolutely loved Sugar Slam interlude.
Mm-hmm.
This song didn't quite hit home for me as it does to you, because the worst dreams I have are dreams where I go to sleep, and then back when I was working a high stress job, I would go to sleep, work an entire day in my sleep in my dream, and then get up and go work an entire day.
I've done that.
It got to the point where it was happening to me 3-4 times a week. And it was hell.
That means it's time to not be doing that job anymore.
Exactly. And man, have I never had a dream like that since.
Hey, that's great. Let me tell you about the nightmare I had probably 4 or 5 days ago. that did wake me up, that I woke up to Christy being like, are you okay? What's going on? Are you okay? You're okay. It's just a dream. In the dream, and I don't remember exactly how it happened, somebody had taken a 2x4 and pounded these long, like 4-inch nails through it. And at some point, I don't know if I was trying to escape or fight somebody, but that board got swung and hit my arm, and the nails came through my forearm, and I saw them all come through my arm, and I started panicking, and I was screaming, oh shit, oh shit. And apparently I was screaming it out loud, like in bed. It woke me up, and she was like, what the hell is going on?
Good God, yeah.
So that was one of the, and that was actually a pretty tame one. That one was easy to go back to sleep after, because I'm like, nope, my arm's okay, I can sleep. It was less psychological, but that's the last time I woke up from a nightmare.
Jeez. Yeah, I can confidently say that I'm pretty blessed in the fact that I don't really have nightmares a lot.
Oh, well, that's good. Don't.
Other than the nightmare of waking up and realizing you didn't actually earn any money by working an entire day.
If only you could. If only you could.
There's so many times I woke up and I was like, son of a bitch.
If I could have just clocked in for that 8 hours.
Yeah, fucking for real.
Right?
but yeah, okay. So I think we're both very, very much in agreement on this song. This song was great.
Yeah, so moving on from the dream, which concludes the lost portion. This concludes the lost portion of this album. We move into track 8, which is the found intro. What did you think of this?
Again, it was fine. I mean, this is just, like I said earlier, the intros that are good, we don't really have much to say about them because it's a cookie cutter.
Right.
You know what I mean? They know the formula of making an intro for a Joker's card, and they can execute it and knock it out really well. So it's just Shaggy setting up the last half of the album. I thought it was produced very well. Mm-hmm. I thought that he did a great job on it. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. The only thing aside from that is it's this. I think this is Shaggy singing, and Shaggy never sings on albums. And there's
Shaggy?
I think so. It sounds like him. And obviously there's a lot of production that went into this and stuff, but man, I thought it sounded great. And, I mean, this was a fine intro. It worked. It totally feels like if I was listening to a Joker's card, that, you know, the lost intro followed by this intro would have made perfect sense. However, I don't think either of these intros work as well as what they ultimately used on the Lost and Found albums.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think that they made the right call by not just tossing these and saying, fuck it, we already wrote 2, let's just use those.
Right. I'm glad they changed directions.
I think that the fact that they changed directions really added to those previous albums.
Yeah.
Perfect. Hey, next song is going to be the first real song on the found portion of this Lost and Found album, Let Loose.
I think this is a cool beat. It sounds like a song that would appear after the intro and intro song on a traditional Joker's card, like the Hocus Pocus or the Show Must Go On type song. Production is a lot more modern than those songs. It feels like it could have been on like the Found album. I think the singing on the hook sounds good. And I think I would have actually liked to hear a track like this in place of a song like Get Clowned that was on Found. I thought it was not necessarily a standout get stuck in your head song, but I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was pretty cool. What'd you think?
Yeah. So the beat kind of stressed me out. If I'm being honest, there's just something about it that just gave me anxiety. I don't know why. The lyrics and flows were really good. I think that they did a fine job with this song. I understand. And I think we can probably say this about most of the back half. I understand why this is not on Law or on Found. Rather.
Yes.
The only problem I had with it was just the beat just felt anxious to me. I don't know. It's weird. I can't really explain it. I just can't.
Well, and I think that's
fucking anxious.
I think that's kind of what I mean by they have these high energy frenetic songs that are the first actual song after the intro/intro song on most Joker's cards. And this has part of the reason I'm saying that is probably because it has that anxious sort of beat to it.
Right.
Maybe.
That makes sense. It makes sense.
So there we go.
Well, okay.
That's Let Loose. Now
I tried to, but I was fucking full of anxiety.
Oh, well, maybe they want to build you up with anxiety and then get you to let loose. That might have all been by design, intentionally.
Oh, my God, they're geniuses.
I wouldn't put it past them and their production team on a track like that. You never know. It's pretty, you know. But now let's move on to a song that is not an anxious beat at all. This is track 10. It's called Dead Heather. What did you think about Dead Heather?
Honestly, I felt like this song was a little forgivable. The chorus was extremely repetitive. We've talked about it before. What chorus isn't? This one just felt more repetitive than even the last song we were talking about, the chorus, yeah. Right?
Forgivable or forgettable? Or forgive and forget?
Right.
Well, you said it's kind of forgivable. And I was like, did you mean forgettable or forgivable? Or forgivable and forgettable?
Did I say forgivable?
You said forgivable.
What on earth? Forgettable.
Okay.
I can't forgive them for it being forgivable. Fuck! I can't forgive them for it being forgettable.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that this song overall is forgettable. The chorus is a little too repetitive. The flows are fine. The beat is fine. It's just, if this was the bones for the proper album, I would have said, chuck this bad boy off. Rework it a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is outtakes, so all of them need to be reworked. I can't knock them too much for that.
I don't know.
This one just felt more
forgettable. A lot of these songs sound like perfectly finished, produced, like thought through, you know, complete songs to me. So yeah, they don't all need reworked, for sure.
They definitely don't all need to be reworked. I agree. I think that more of them need to be reworked on the found portion,
yes,
than would have needed to on the lost portion. I think that you probably have similar thoughts on that.
Oh, I do. So I think this song is fine. It's fine. The production is decent, but the song is just okay. They've done this subject matter before. This has some Cemetery Girl vibes from Riddlebox. Which is a far superior, more interesting and fun song. There's something about this that I listen to it and I go, that's a Hallowicked track. I don't know why, but that's kind of what it seems like. It also feels like a song that has Forgotten Freshness written all over it. Like, if it showed up I'd be like, okay, yeah.
I wouldn't bat an eye if it showed up on a Forgotten Freshness.
No,
yeah.
No. This track, though, would have made zero sense on the proper found album. None at all. Also, there is a skit at the end, and once again, it's the only skit on the album. Why did they do this?
I also wrote something down about the skit. Not the fact that it was the only skit on the album, but man, even 2015 feels like it was too late for Yo Mama jokes.
Way. I mean, they did all the Yo Mama jokes
10 years too late, right?
They had all the Yo Mama jokes on the Bizarre albums. Remember those 20-minute tracks at the end?
Fuck yeah.
Why did they suddenly come back here? And they weren't even that funny.
No, they weren't. I mean, the first one, the last one about the beach and the whales chant family.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that in fifth grade. That one's not even like, they didn't even write a Yo Mama joke for that one.
I like that they gave it an ICP sort of juggalo spin because family,
that's true.
That's like one of their things. So I like that they took that old Yo Mama joke and put this spin on it. But true. I don't like it. I thought, well, at least they did something. That's my thought there.
I will say the other two Yo Mama jokes, I feel like they probably did not write those either, but I never heard them before.
So, I mean, even on back when they did them on the Bizarre albums, not a lot of those were ones that they've heard before. They weren't theirs. So I don't know. Yeah, that skit did nothing for me. It did not add anything. Glad that got left off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next song is track number 11. It's a song called The Carousel. Eric, thoughts?
There's something kind of muddled about this song that nothing stands out about it to me. It's not bad. as I listen to it, I hear Violent J's cadence, and I feel like it sounds almost identical to his cadence on Hell's Forecast from the Wraith Shangri-La. It seems like there's supposed to be a message here, but I don't know what it is.
Upon subsequent listens, the meaning to this song has become a bit clearer to me. The carousel is a metaphor for the passage of time in our lives. We are all distracted by the things we chase in life. For some it may be parties and good times, for some it may be money and fame, and for others it may be career. But much like the children in the song, we are all distracted by the lights and music. All the while, we are getting older without even noticing it. In the end, despite our experiences, we are often forgotten and disregarded.
Because they completely botch it at the end. It's about, you know, these kids that get on a carousel and they end up being on it till they're very old. And there's this sort of cinematic spoken outro where they're coming off as old people and nobody believes them. They just think they're senile. And then it just randomly ends and Shaggy drops a homophobic slur that doesn't feel like it fits with anything that was going on, and absolutely just takes this song from being okay and like just runs it straight into the ground. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, that I didn't like that it was a homophobic slur, but even worse, why did you need to, like, the song was already ending. That was just a left turn out of nowhere to me. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I still feel the same about that ending, though.
I don't think this would have made any sense on Found. It feels more like, if anything, this would have been a Lost type track, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm rambling about it. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so this one definitely felt like a Lost type track.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was down in the Found section. That being said, it would have been the weakest Lost track, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's not bad. I genuinely don't see what it would have replaced on either of the albums.
No.
Yeah, I thought that outro from Shaggy was just, I mean, it gave me whiplash.
Yep.
At the end. Yeah. I didn't know what the hell that was. I couldn't believe that stayed on there.
I have no idea. When, you know, you just mentioned, I don't know what it would have replaced on either. This song very much also supports my theory that I doubt they started recording songs like this with the end goal of releasing these dedicated Lost and Found albums that were what they were.
Right.
I do not think that this is from those sessions. Again, my theory is that this is from an original version of what this Joker's card would have been.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think the music was meh.
Yeah.
The flows were meh. The chorus was catchy, but meh. Overall, I even wrote down, this song is way too long and it's only 4:28. Like, this could have been 2.5 minutes and still gotten the exact same point across.
Yeah, very much so.
Perfect.
All right, let's move on to the next song. This one's called Hooker. It's track 12.
Yeah. I'm very emphatic when I write my notes for these.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never used all caps for a song more in my entire life, I don't think.
Yeah.
First all caps was gross guitar, get out. Next all caps was same with that heavy bass synth, fuck off. Because, I mean, it was just bizarre how absolutely offensive this beat sounded with both this very heavy modded synth bass as well as the fucking disgusting guitar tones that they found.
Yeah, awful.
This song is stupid, but it's not clever stupid. When I say clever stupid, I mean Joey the Butcher.
Okay.
I don't, this is just a song about them having sex with a hooker. There's one line that I have, Genius does not have it written down. There's a question mark where the word is that I have no fucking clue what it is, but it's in the bridge. I listened to it 6 times. I rewound and listened to it 6 times. Cannot figure out what it is. But the hooker says, hey, baby, you want me to suck your cock for $50? You want me to come sit on your lap, honey? Come on, baby. I know you got $50. I'll blank your butt for you. What is this hooker going to do to my butt?
Hey, whatever you want, maybe. I don't know.
I could not. It's been on my mind. I tried again this morning to figure out what the fuck that this hooker is trying to say.
Let's try and figure it out right now.
Come on, baby. I know you got 50 bucks. I'll fillet your butt for you.
I'll fillet your butt. I think the word is I'll fillet your butt for you.
Fillet was the closest thing I got, but I wasn't confident in it.
I can't imagine what else it is, but it's hard to tell. And also, fillet your butt sounds weird, right?
That's why I wasn't confident. I was like, what the fuck? Do you ever like, oh yeah, baby, let me fillet that butt?
No, you know never, what I mean? I've never thought or said that or heard that. But it doesn't mean that's not what's being said there.
I don't. I'm very mad at myself for saying it right now. Honestly, this song fucking sucks, dude.
I'm going to read you my notes. Hit me with it. I'm going to read you my notes, please. The way I wrote them. Everything about this sucks. The music sucks. The lyrics suck. The concept sucks. The hook sucks. This song doesn't belong on any album ever, much less Lost and Found. And also, the thematically, this is a problematic song to me. I don't have any judgment toward sex workers or anybody that chooses to patronize sex workers. And I can't 100% tell, even from reading the lyrics, what angle this song is coming from. But it sounds very demeaning and making fun of both sides. It's poorly concepted and poorly executed across the board here.
Yeah. So you said something. I think you actually might have misspelled something. You said the hook sucks. No, I believe the hooker sucks.
Both.
She actually mentions it multiple times.
Yes, both the hook and the hooker.
Yes. This song doesn't, and honestly, their worst songs are the songs that comment on something that you genuinely have no clue what their perspective on is. Like, what are they saying about this?
Right. I don't believe them for a second that they're making a statement about their views here. I think they were like, hey, this would be funny. Let's make a song about this.
Hey, guys, it wasn't.
No. No, I would have rather, instead of put this on for track 12, just put a mic up to your ass and fart, and that would be track 12.
Dude, genuinely, if this would have made it on Found, this song would have knocked it down, like, probably a full bottle of Faygo for me.
Same.
Like, just this one song.
Actually, knowing that they recorded this song as a consideration for Found makes me want to go back and retroactively knock it down, but then give that bottle back because they were smart enough not to put it on there.
Correct. Okay.
But then take it away because they released it anyway.
Fuck. We're going to take it back. We'll give it back to you. And then we're going to go ahead and take it back one more time. But that take it back might end up being reflected in this score, not the other one. We'll see. We'll see. That song sucked ass. It was stupid and dumb. Let's get on to the next song, which the title is an apology for us listening to the previous song, and that is the song called I'm Sorry.
Yeah. You know, this isn't a song I really like, but it's not a terrible song either. It does sort of feel like a song that maybe could have gone on Found. Especially on the Found half of a more traditional Marvelous Missing Link. I get it. It does feel a little outdated compared to most of the other songs on the proper albums. But conceptually, this is like the Collateral Damage song, right? They basically, throughout the song, say that they attack or beat or kill anybody that they think is bad, and they're sorry about accidentally killing or hurting people that maybe actually weren't bad, but they're not sorry for killing or hurting the people that were. I listened to the chorus, and the whole sorry, I'm not sorry thing, I immediately was like, okay, so they listened to that Demi Lovato song, Sorry, Not Sorry, and copied it. And then I looked, and I realized that this came out 2 years before that, so Demi Lovato copied them.
Demi, you piece of fucking shit. Yo, fuck Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato's been through her own shit, man. She doesn't need yours.
That that is fun, in a fun little nugget of information.
Yeah.
And it also admits that Demi Lovato is an ICP fan.
Probably true. Probably true. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I thought this song was fine. I think that from what we've listened to so far, this is definitely the closest one to have fit on what became Found.
Yeah.
But I also think if it was on Found, I would have called this the weakest track.
Probably true. There was one or two on Found that I didn't, you know, maybe more than one or two that I didn't love, that this could have easily been in place of it and it wouldn't have swayed my feelings either direction, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think, I think the concept for this song is a pretty good concept because, and I feel like this is the right time for this song, right?
Yeah.
In 2015, after a long storied career of singing about killing people, they kind of come back and like, hey, we might have killed somebody that we shouldn't have. I'm sorry.
There's an element of this song that feels like they're not saying it, but they are. They're saying, hey, we're sorry if we make offensive, violent content and we do violent stuff, but we're not sorry for having sort of principles and morals that are behind this. You know, we're not sorry for having a message. And we're not sorry for calling out people that are bad, but we also are sorry for, you know, being violent and doing shitty stuff. I think that's kind of what they're getting at here.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that that's a good viewpoint to have.
Yeah.
The biggest complaint I have in this song is just the guitar. I wasn't a fan of, but man, it sounded way better than the last song. Yeah, so I'm not going to give them too much shit for it.
Yeah. Well, so shall cool. we move on to the last track, number 14. This one's called Immortal.
So this song is about how various things happen throughout the song that should have killed them, but they're surprised to find out. At first, they're surprised to find out that they're still alive. And then they kind of get with the program. They're like, yeah, I'm still alive. I'll never die. Immortal. It is pretty much the chorus. I thought that the beat was sick, that the flows were dope. I enjoyed this song pretty heavily. Nice little Jeremy Piven.
that didn't reference. Age well. No, it did not age well.
Nope. Did not age well at all.
Still living like Jeremy Piven? No, that's not how you want to live, friend.
I would hope you aren't. But I thought this song... I had to get out the Jeremy Piven line. When I heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, what?
I wrote that down too.
I started laughing so hard. But yeah.
I guess at that time he was on Entourage and stuff though, so it was different. It was a couple years later that all the sexual assault stuff came out.
Yeah, yeah. This was definitely pre sexual assault stuff for sure.
Yeah.
But, I liked this song. I thought this was a good song. This, I feel like, would be another one that I could see on Found. Less than I'm Sorry, but I could see.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't love this song. I thought it was okay. Kind of forgettable, but I suppose I could picture it being on Found as well. Like you said, it's about dying in a bunch of different ways and not dying. It's one of those... they've done it so much before. The trade-off. Not strictly one-liner, but practically. Here's what happened. Here's how I died, and I'm still alive. And they just trade off back and forth. It's I'm just going to call that the bizarre formula, because that's really where that started, I think. The singing on the hook feels pretty rough to me. I did not like that very much. Aside from that Jeremy Piven line, there's another line that really stood out. Once I got Melania, a fatal disease. Like... All right, go ahead and make stuff up, but don't disparage the name of the greatest first lady we've ever had.
I mean, come on.
Come on now.
She did so much for the country while she was first lady.
Right, right. But I do think it's funny that they called it a fatal disease. And I would assume that they're talking about malaria. I'm not sure. But Melania is what they said. And it was like hearing it, like... I was driving in the car the first time and immediately my ears went, what? What are they talking about? What are they? Melania? And then I read the lyrics and I'm like, oh no, they're not talking about Melania. They're just making up a fake disease name.
But that also brings up a good point. This is we're ending out 2015. What happens in 2016? Well, we have one more episode
right
in 2015. But what happens in 2016?
Well, I mean, Melania becomes the first lady.
Correct. And so that kind of, I was like, oh shit. I kind of can't wait to hear their inevitable thoughts.
I thought that too. I'm like, man, 2016, 2017, they're going to have, actually from this point on, there's so much cultural and racial divide in the country going on that there's probably going to be quite a bit that they have to say about it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, all right. That was Immortal.
It was.
Clearly it wasn't Immortal because we're killing it. We're moving on to the next one. And the next one is our overall thoughts.
Yeah. I was like, next one, there's no more songs. But yeah. So I shared my big thought that although a few of these almost definitively are actual outtakes, the bulk of this does feel to me like a scrapped vision for what the Marvelous Missing Link was going to be. The, hey, let's go do a by the numbers Joker's card. Because there's a lot here that feels that way. I'm glad they made that shift, whether it was mid-production or after they completed an album or what. I think the songs that ultimately ended up on Lost and Found were a good choice. I think it was different for them. There are absolutely a few tracks here that were strong enough to be on those albums. But I thought it was also interesting that last week we talked about why the hell do we have no idea who this character is, and bam, there's the song right here. Production on almost all of this is still as solid, although some of it sound more like legacy ICP music versus the more modern production. I love that pushed them out of their comfort zone on those albums, but this was interesting to hear. I don't think most of these songs are bad. I'm not sure I 100% agree with their choice to release this, even if it was interesting to hear this potentially alternate reality version of The Marvelous Missing Link. Really fun to hear and speculate about. But I do think, in some ways, it detracts from the proper albums. I don't know. Maybe save the best tracks and put them on Forgotten Freshness or something. I'm torn on whether I think it was the right move to release this and go, hey, here's what we didn't do, and, you know, sort of give you part of that thought process. Or it's the wrong move to go, here's more, and you go, what? What the hell is this? This doesn't align with those other two. So I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, I think my overall thoughts are I was very happy to hear that this wasn't all just stupid shit. I was very happy to be able to listen to this and think, some of this could actually fit on the proper albums.
For sure.
Now there was a couple mounds of shit in here, but it's an outtakes. Yeah. I was mentally prepared for more. I was happy when there wasn't. Your theory of this kind of being what they were doing, like this was the bones of what Lost and Found. It was just going to be one Joker's card like this. I think your theory is very solid. Something that I didn't think about, but I could definitely see it.
You know, in listening to this, to your point, I would say 50% of these songs are as strong as anything that was on the proper albums. 25% were okay, and I understand why they didn't make it on the album, but they weren't bad. And then the other 25% were just not good songs, just not great. You should have left them off. But it was not a throwaway, and if this was released as a proper Joker's card, it wouldn't have been trash. It would have been like, oh, okay, more of what we expected. So glad they changed it up, but not a throwaway outtakes album for sure.
Yeah, definitely not a throw. We've heard way worse outtakes than this.
Way worse.
Well, hey, guess what we get to do?
We get to pick our favorite songs.
Tracks.
Oh, we get to pick our favorite songs. Yeah. So I wrote four or five down, but there are two that stand sort of ahead of the others, and then two that are sort of close but not quite there.
Okay.
I'm curious to see which one you'll pick. What's your
Let's say our number one at the same time.
Okay. Ready?
Then we can debate and discuss. On go. I'm gonna do 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
On go. 3, 2, 1, go.
The monster.
Six pedophiles.
Oh, I thought you said on go.
Oh. Well, I had to say go and then say it.
Okay, so either way, I said the monster, you said six pedophiles.
And the monster was my second.
The dream is my second. Six pedophiles was my third.
The dream was my third.
Okay, so we both picked the same top three. I also had Let Loose and Why'd I Have to Die after that, but those were the ones that are sort of a little bit lower. The top three for me are The Monster, The Dream, and Six Pedophiles.
Six Pedophiles and The Monster?
Let's do it.
Our two number ones?
Yeah.
All right. Man, I listened to Six Pedophiles, and I thought this one was for sure mine. Then I listened to The Monster, I was like, oh, fuck. This one's making a strong case. Yeah. And then The Dream happened. I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
But then I thought, this is good. We have options.
Yeah. You know, Six Pedophiles is kind of the Confederate flag of this album. The one that you listen to and you just immediately go, yep, you know, that's an obvious choice. For me, The Monster, just so much about it worked. So I had to pick that.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay. We're sitting at 82 songs. 6 hours. We broke the 6 hour mark.
Hell yes.
I love that for us.
Me too.
Okay.
What's the most played song on that album?
So I'm trying to go through here and look and just verify which one is actually the most played. Most of these are sitting right around 100,000 plays, between 100 and 150,000 plays.
Okay.
By far, with 309,821 plays, Six Pedophiles.
See, that doesn't shock me. It's very straightforward, very direct.
Even the name. Like I said in my notes, the name, I knew I was going to like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Monster actually only has 134,000.
Wow.
Which is right in the middle of the road with everybody else, or all the other songs, rather. The least played being the Found intro.
Interesting.
78,642.
Skip right past that shit.
Meanwhile, my band's top song on Spotify has like 515 plays.
Well, at least a few of those are mine.
Listen to the new EP Phantom Pains by Sex Tape, available everywhere you stream music.
Let's give out some Fagos. I'm feeling generous today. Let's give out some Fagos.
I would love to give out some Fagos, and we are going to give some for this one.
So, as always, we're going to score them based off of music and beats, lyrics and flows. Usually we do skits and interludes that they don't want us to score that one skit.
No, it'd be unfair.
So we're not going to. And then vibe at time of release, baby. So I'm going to go and start with music and beats. Music and beats, there's a lot worse albums out there than this one when it comes to music and beats that they put out. But it's also a lot better. I actually went with a very middle of the road 2.5 on Fagos on this one. And that is simply because there were some just egregious Philbin. There's some egregious beats on this one. But even the best ones were just like, okay, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I think for me, there was one beat on here that just fucking sucked. That was terrible. I just did not like anything about it. I didn't like the mix or the tone or anything about it. Outside of that, there were several that I thought were fantastic and several more that I thought were just okay. Overall, though, the production, save that one track, was solid on this. It felt and sounded good. I went with a 3.5.
Okay. Yeah, respectable. Very respectable.
Yeah. So what'd you have for lyrics and flows?
Lyrics and flows. They had some good stuff in here. Jeremy Piven, obviously. I actually went with a 3.5 on the lyrics and flows. The standout tracks were extremely standout. I'm talking The Monster. I'm talking Six Pedophiles. I'm talking about The Dream.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm even talking about Joey the Butcher. This would have given me I honestly would have given it probably a 4 if Hooker was left off.
There's a couple tracks that I didn't think the lyrics were super strong, but I do think overall their delivery and everything was good across the board. I also went with a 3.5.
Perfect. Vibe at the time of the release, the one that I dread so much. Mm. Man, I mean, this one was 2015. They've already released two albums at this point, and this is the outtakes for that. You know what I mean? The people that listen to those two albums, they're going to want it, and it's a different vibe than those two albums, but it's not like, it wasn't so different that it was like bad. You know what I mean? Like it, the vibe was similar enough, but very, but different enough to differentiate it. I think I went ahead and scored this at a 3.
Okay. Like I said, I still can't tell whether I think it's cool that they released this or whether I think it was a bad idea that detracts from two otherwise very good albums. There's some great stuff here, and I'm glad they put it out so that we could hear some of those songs. There's also some stuff here that makes me just baffled that they that it got to the recording stage even. I went with a 2.5 because I can't decide whether I think it's good or bad.
Respectable, respectable.
Yeah, yeah. So overall, that brings us to a Faygo score of 3.08. So it's a 3 Faygo album.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
But for an Outtakes album, not bad at all.
Yeah. There are some songs here that are undoubtedly fan favorite tracks on this album.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Like Hooker, for instance.
I hope not.
Okay. What's that come out to?
Still 3. Oh, you mean across all 3 albums?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. I did not clarify that at all. I had that thought in my head, and I did not explain it one bit.
Let's see.
What's that come out to?
I was like, what are you talking about?
I just had an entire conversation with you in my head while you were talking.
Oh, how did that go?
It did not line up. Very well. You expressed, you confessed your love to me. I politely shut you down, though.
Oh, snap. It comes out to 3.67 if we take all 3 of these albums and put them together. So, gosh, I guess we would call that a 3.5. I guess. I don't know. Do we round up? Does that round up to a 4?
I feel like we round it to halves, probably. So that would probably be a round down, maybe, to a 3.5.
3.67. I mean, if it was a 3.74, we'd go down to 3.5. If it was a 3.75, yeah, we'd go up to 4.
Correct.
So yes.
Okay. That's not bad for these three, for a 2015 Joker's card.
Pretty fucking good, actually.
Yeah. For a second deck Joker's card, that is pretty fucking good. Amazing. Guys, that has been this episode.
It has been.
Eric, I'm proud of us.
Because we made it through another episode?
Compared to like the last 2 or 3 episodes, that was probably the most concise review we have ever had.
And that's a win for us.
That is a win for us.
And for our listeners.
I don't think you guys realize it, but last episode, Eric cut, I think, probably 45 minutes of us talking about some stupid bullshit.
Definitely did. I definitely did.
In the middle of, in the absolute middle of the review, he had to slice it.
Hey, if you on your bingo card have a concise review of an ICP album free, go ahead and mark it off.
Hey, and honestly, that should give you bingo because that was probably the last one that you had open.
Probably true. You thought you were never going to get it.
Guys, if you had bingo, please let us know. We'll send you nothing.
Our gratitude.
And you'll fucking like it.
Congratulations. Aaron, let's talk about an interesting thing. We are going to do something special. We're branching out into other mediums.
We're branching out.
I'll let you talk smalls
and larges and extra larges, not just mediums.
I feel like you made that joke last week.
Did I?
Maybe.
I would not be surprised. So as some of you know, I stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/gristlemedia. 5 days a week. If you enjoy the content here, then you will absolutely enjoy the content there. One thing that I do with my Twitch community, I have a Discord server. That's actually how Eric and I record every week, is on a voice channel in the Discord server. I do a very fun thing with my community where I host movie nights on a weekly basis. It hasn't been happening weekly lately. We've kind of fallen off and out of track, but on Wednesday nights, we host a movie night. We have decided, Eric and I, that we're going to start, I think, once a month.
Yep.
Showing a movie in the realm of ICP.
And I think we decided we're going to start with Big Money Hustlers, right?
Yes. So we're going to start with Big Money Hustlers. I will be streaming that in my Discord, which we will link, put a link to the Discord in the show notes. But I will be streaming that. We'll also tweet it.
Yes.
I'll be streaming that movie in the Discord Wednesday, March 31st. It will begin at around 7 p.m. Central Time. And we're going to have an absolute blast. I think you guys would really enjoy hanging out, having a conversation with us that's actually voice to voice.
Yeah.
Rather than hitting us up through email or Twitter, having a brief conversation with us and enjoying a film.
We'll give some commentary. We'll chat about it. No cost. The only cost is your time.
And I heard this is great, Eric, because I heard that Big Money Hustlers actually has been added to the Criterion Collection.
I did hear that. Yeah, you can pick it up on a double Blu-ray.
Yeah, amazing. Digitally reformatted.
Yes, it's I can't. And I think it's the director's cut, the despecialized version, without all the CG that they added in for the re-release.
Perfect. So, okay, guys, March 31st, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time in the Griscord. That is my Discord. Again, link will be in the show notes, as well as we will tweet it out.
It's going to be fun.
That being said, we should talk about socials.
We should. You can find us on Twitter. ICUPWWE, put the at symbol before that because that's how you write Twitter handles and most other handles as well. You can also email us on Gmail. We are ICUPWWE@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @nuclearislonely, or you can check my website, ericconway.com. Aaron, where can people find you?
You can find all of my content as well as link to my socials, my merch, and my Etsy store where I sell my paintings at www.aaronlocklear.com. Now, remember that www stands for World Wide Web.
Correct.
So if you're not in the world, and it is wide, so double check, you might not be able to access it.
That's true. If you're somewhere else that isn't the world, I'm not sure if you can get there.
Buzz Aldrin could not get in. He's in space. Or was at a time.
I don't think he's... No, I don't think so.
Is he in heaven watching me masturbate?
I think so.
Oh my God, Buzz Aldrin's watching me jack off.
Wrong. Buzz Aldrin is still alive. So, if he's watching you jack off, it's not from heaven.
For some reason, I really wanted to say, oh my God, Buzz Aldrin is watching me jack off to Jackie Kennedy, and I have no clue why, because I've never once done that.
Are you sure?
I might try it out, honestly, but no, I'm pretty positive. I've never once cranked one to Jackie Kennedy.
She's got such fashion, though. I mean, she was very well-dressed.
Well, if there's one thing I am, it's a slut for fashion.
That's what I'm saying.
You can also find me, as I previously mentioned, on Twitch, twitch.tv/, by the way, that .tv stands for television. And that is also a World Wide Web link as well. Don't forget twitch.tv/gristlemedia. I stream 5 days a week. A lot of my viewers also listen to this podcast. Shout out to you guys. How are you? I am well. And I think that y'all will really enjoy the dope tent that I crank out every day. You can also find my smooth like molasses singing voice on my band's newest EP. That's my band Sex Tape put out Phantom Pains. It is out on all platforms. Listen to it now.
You can hear my smooth as molasses voice on Hollowed Out's Promise Nothing. Go listen to Sex Tape first.
Listen to Hollowed Out first.
Come on. Listen to both at the same time. One in each
listen
year.
Listen to both of them at the same time. Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what happens next week?
Next week, we are still in 2015, and we are reviewing Phantom Extra Spooky Edition.
Hell yes.
Are you excited?
I am. I'm very curious to listen to this. One other thought. The only other album that they released in 2015 is the Riddle Box 20th Anniversary Edition. And I've been talking about the song Fabulous, which you are going to listen to and go, why did you care about this? This is such an insignificant thing. But it was released on that 20th anniversary. I'm just going to send you a link to just that song and go, here, listen to this so we can finally say that we listened to it again.
Perfect. I also want to bring up to you, Eric.
Yes, sir.
One of the fantastic members of the duo Juggalo Judgment brought up to us on Twitter top five Zug Island songs.
Oh, God.
And these are genuinely good. Well, top four. And then he said for the fifth one, I don't know, just press shuffle. These are genuinely songs that they enjoy.
Okay.
I think we should listen to them as an ode to Juggalo Judgment. And have a brief discussion about them.
All right, fine. We will do next week. We'll talk about Phantom Extra Spooky plus bonus.
Plus boners.
Plus Juggalo Judgment's top five Zug Island songs and Fabulous.
Love it.
It'll be a full album again, essentially. We won't score them. We'll just talk about them.
We'll just briefly discuss them because I want to make sure we can give it the time of day because apparently we've given them a bad rap on this podcast. According to Juggalo Judgment, we've given Zug Island a bad rap.
Is it because we have?
I think they gave themselves a bad rap.
We're just but calling it out. Okay.
As two open-minded people, I think that we can definitely set aside 20 minutes to listen to five Zug Island songs.
Hell yes. Also,
I can't wait.
For anybody listening that thought they got a bingo because we did concise review, just go ahead and scratch that back off. Clear it out.
Yeah, I hope you marked it in pencil so you can erase it.
Yeah.
Because we're falling apart here fast.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, guys. Next up, 2015's Phantom Extra Spooky Edition. We're also going to talk about these five Zug Island songs, and I can't wait for it.
I'm stoked.
Guys, for Eric, I'm Aaron. Big old whoop whoop out there to every single one of you. Can't wait to see you next week. Bye.
Whoop whoop.
Playlists, Spotify, music, yeah. Bands.
Those are all things. Totally.
Those are all things.
Playlist, Spotify, music, band.
Playlist, Spotify, music, band. Playlist, Spotify, music, band.
Playlist, Spotify, yeah. Music, band. Playlist, Spotify, music, band.
Playlist, Spotify, music, band. Playlist, Spotify, music, band. Welcome to ICUP with Wee.